Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello, everyone. It isn't Steve, it's Becky Brown, and I am joined by Dr. Sherry Keffer and Chris Williams in California. Hi, both
of
you.
Great to be here. How are you today?
It's going well. Happy Thursday. We're so excited for all of you listening in, and we have some callers waiting, and I hope you'll hold on because we're going to answer your questions. But before we start, I want to just talk about the difference between healthy and unhealthy relationships. It may seem like an obvious thing, but we hear so many times people who are in really unhealthy relationships thinking that they're healthy. So Sherry or Chris, how would you direct people in understanding what's the difference between those two?
Well, I think this sheet of eight contrasts between unhealthy and healthy relationships is a great roadmap. And one of the things that I want to address is the number one thing on there, and that is reality versus fantasy. And I call it the difference between ideal and real. And we all have within us our ideal self, our ideal relationship, our ideal marriage, and doggone it, reality is so stubborn in its refusal to meet the demands of our ideal. And what happens in the space in between that is disappointment and also potentially shame. Mm-hmm. And so what we want to do is recognize that, hey, I have this idealized version of myself or a relationship or another person, but I need to trust the real. And in the space in between that, I would really encourage people to apply grace. Mm. It's a much better long-term motivator and mover towards something that is more ideal. And the trick is, shame usually gives us a bump towards making a correction, but oftentimes has diminishing returns. It's kind of like a drug. It's kind of like, oh, I'm a bad person, so I'm going to be a good person. But then we get this magnet back. Grace is a transforming mechanism, but it takes a little bit more time than shame.
I love that. And the sheet that Chris is referring to is, we have a tip sheet, eight contrasts between unhealthy and healthy relationships, and you can get a copy of that by calling us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But Sherry, what would you say is a highlight to figure out the difference between healthy and unhealthy relationships?
Yeah, it's so funny. They'd given us this tip sheet today, and I was so involved in reading it because it's so good. Mm-hmm. I almost didn't get on. Like, I was sitting here going, okay, come on, put your head in the game because it's good. Steve did a great job of really looking at what are the polarizations that happen in relationships. And I know one that I end up talking about a lot is the honesty versus deception. That's number eight. And it's impossible to have intimacy in a relationship when there is dishonesty, when there's addictions going on, when there's lying, porn, affairs, and any right. And the reason is intimacy is in to me, you see. You all have heard that, right? Probably before. But when we have lying and deceit in the mix, it's like we're up to our eyeballs in, doo-doo, and we're afraid that if somebody gets close enough, they're going to smell what's on us. So you won't be close. In fact, a lot of times you'll make your partner wrong or bad in order to protect yourself from being found out. So it's a lot of crazy making when that's
in the mix. I love that description, though, too, because it's really knowing yourself and then being able to know somebody else. I mean, it's a challenge. But listen, if you want to get a copy of this, you can call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, And we'll send one to you free. I mean, it's, you know, it's a great tool, and you might answer some of the questions that you have, whether it's about your own relationship or maybe if you want to get into a relationship. We're going to be right back and answer some calls after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. It's Becky Brown, and I'm with Dr. Sherry Keffer and Chris Williams, and we are answering your calls today. And right now we're going to go to Isabel, who's calling us from Washington, D.C., listens on the New Life app. You can also get the app. It's free wherever you get your apps for your device. And you can not only listen to New Life Live, but you can get all kinds of resources, and like the tip sheet that we just talked about can be available there. And so enough about that, though. Isabel, thanks for calling and waiting. How can we help you today?
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a little nervous. I'll try to talk slowly and also express my question properly. And I just want to say I'm grateful that you guys are available. My question today is in regards to my brother. I'm a little bit concerned about him and his marriage. Him personal, his own personal as a person, as well as his marriage. So at this moment, the situation is my nephew, his son is not doing well. They found out something with his heart this week, and he's still in process of getting tested. So they are under stress of worrying. My sister-in-law, usually we live in two different countries. So we had a normal, good relationship, in my opinion. And about less six months ago, she came up with stories that kind of almost fractured my relationship with my brother. But in order to fix the relationship, whatever I didn't do, I just told her, you know, I don't know how you took it wrongly, but this is not what I did. And then whatever I thought she took it wrongly, I just apologized for the sake of the relationship with my brother and for peace sake, even though I thought she was still not in the right. Anyway, so that's where we were. After that, my trust towards her or her personality broke. But in any way, and then now she's almost like normal, very loving towards me. So I said, okay, I take it. But now when this happened with my nephew yesterday, when I called to check on him, I called her so she can feel okay as well. So she goes crying and said, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this marriage anymore. And and was very stressed and said, and I said, what happened? And then she just said, no, I went through a lot with your brother. I can't do this anymore, not especially now with my son. He takes him to a lot of exercises. So she was blaming my brother why my nephew's not doing well at this moment. So I tried to calm her down. We couldn't talk because I had to go to work. So I'm going to talk to her today. So I'm a little bit scared what to do, what to say, how to say it in order to help them with their marriage, and also to not cause, again, maybe some misunderstanding between us. If I tell her the truth, if I felt something was maybe wrong on her end, whatever it is. But I mean, it's my brother, so I don't want to take sides. My brother, the background between the two of them, my father committed suicide. We didn't grow up with him, but we had that pain. So, and she had a lot of trauma as well. She lost her mother as a young girl, and also her stepmother died sudden. So she has, I think, fear of loss and all that stuff. So they both have their own stuff. And my brother never talks. He's a very, very calm, quiet man. So I'm scared for how he takes it, because when I heard his voice, he sounded very sad.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Isabel, your tenderness towards them is honorable, and I understand you want to help, and it's hard because you're so far away. Let's hear what Sherry and Chris have to offer as you plan to give this phone call this later today to check in.
Well, Isabel, one of my concerns for you is that you subtly believe that you actually have more control over this situation than you do. And that is like, you know, how do I help them save this marriage? How do I help them get better? And those are good questions. But as adults, they've got to make those decisions on their own. And so I don't want you to go in there being overly responsible for their decisions or even their behaviors. And one of the things that our unresolved or unhealed pain does in some of us is it creates chaos. And so that's where the chaos has its own life and really driven by fear. So at one time, the fear shows up and it makes up its own story. That can be very confusing, mm-hmm. right? And then at another time, right. maybe the fear is lowered and you feel like the person is back in reality. So I want to say all of this is that, Isabel, you've got to be able to internally separate yourself from their chaos. You don't want the contagion of chaos. So that is, you're going to have to be very secure in yourself, knowing that, hey, my motives and my intentions and my actions are in alignment towards what I want to do is helpful. What they do with that is up to them, including if they want to spin it in a weird way and place themselves as the victim and you as the persecutor. That's where you want to be able to protect your heart around that.
That's what I was scared of. Like, I don't want to cause harm, then good.
Yeah, and I think that that's a, I mean, you're calling us, you're seeking advice. It shows that inside of you is the intention of goodness. And of course, we want the wisdom of application for that goodness to be realized. But there's this weird thing in some of us, our inability to receive goodness. And that might be in them. And you can't do anything about that.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Sherry, what would you suggest,
you know,
that
Isabel
do?
Yeah, I am. So I don't know if you know this, but my brother, my only brother, committed suicide a year and a half ago. And he he has two kids. And I'm watching a little bit what's happening with you and your brother right now with them. So one of my nieces is... now that her dad took his life, she is taking on more the role of trying to fix her other sibling, which feels a little bit like your brother. Because this is the thing. The trauma of the suicide makes us somehow believe that your brother, if he's sad, might commit suicide. But that's not true.
Right.
That's not true.
And her sentence when she said, you know, I went through a lot with your brother. My mother-in-law, my stepmother said that after my father passed away, that sentence on the phone to me. So
she said what
I
to you?
I kind of connected that.
She said
to me, I went through a lot with your brother. You have no idea. Mm-hmm. And then my stepmother said the same thing about my father to me after he passed away when I called to find out what happened.
Interesting.
Because he lived in a different country.
Yeah. I think if you can stay the course and not let the fear of your brother's sadness move you to a place where you think he's going to take his life, it'll help you be a better listener while you're detached.
Right.
You're not in the middle of their situation. There might be something going on. I mean, you said she made up a bunch of stories. Well, the first thing that I went is, I wonder what the stories were, right?
Yeah.
And if we take up an offense for our sibling, we may be less likely to listen with elephant ears to what might be going on. And so in cases like this, I love where Chris started you, because you've got to have you've got to have some sense of holding on to yourself and some distance from trying to save their marriage. But if you're taking up an offense for your brother and trying to protect him from his sadness because you think he might take his life, you might not be able to hear your sister-in-law and what she really has going on.
Right. And I
loved what you said. Well, and Isabel, what Chris is saying and Sherry's saying is that fear is making up a story. And then you're living out the story that may not even be true. But I think one of the things that we talk about here is being vulnerable. And I think it would be okay, Isabel, as you call and you say, I'm calling to check in on you because I want you to be okay. However, I'm also sad that something I might say might, you know, upset you, and that's not my goal. And just to be vulnerable in that way.
Love it, Becky.
Yeah, and that way,
so wise.
That way you're just showing up. But I would also say, Isabel, this is time for you to do your work for your own healing. And maybe you get with a counselor and you can get this kind of settled inside of you so that when you do talk to them, you are ready, you know, you're detached, like what Sherry's saying. And when we talk about detachment here, it is never, you know, disinterest. It's not that. It's literally, I'm not all tangled up in your stuff. So we're going to send you a copy of Healing is a Choice, because I think that will be a good starter of it. And hold on, and we'll get you connected with a counselor as well.
Well, and Becky, if I can jump in on that too, because on the sheet, 8 contrasts between unhealthy and healthy relationships, is this idea of security versus fear. And so when we are insecure, carrying a lot of fear in ourselves, we bring that to the relationship.
Right.
And so I love what Sherry was saying, because it's so important. We don't want to be abandoning people because we're not, you know, in control, or we don't know how they're going to receive people. But we want to contain ourselves so that we can be empathetic, so that we, so our fear and our insecurities are not interfering with our ability to be present to another person.
Right. Right. And in this case, just Isabella, you have pain because of what you went through. You have pain because what you observe your brother is going through. You have pain because of what their marriage is going through. So it's, you know, and, you know, relationships are like that, right? It gets messy real quick. But we want to do our own work so that we can be present for people who we want to help, and people that we love. We are going to take a call from John, who's calling us from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and listens on Alexa. And we're glad you called, John. How can we help you today?
Yeah, I'm just looking for some advice on direction of the right way to progress in healing. So just a little bit of background. I was in DMLA, the youth organization of Freemasonry, and went through a hazing incident, you know, not very sexually provocative, not unlike probably, you know, tons of people have went through in fraternities in college. And I'm a cradle Protestant, baptized as an infant, and then in 1998 as a believing adult. I was on the East Coast for 29 years, where for 18 years I did have a counselor that is in the New Life Network. And during the COVID early stages, I learned that her close family friend that she identified as an uncle was a Shriner, and her father was a Freemason. The Shriner passed away from COVID, but you know, what I'm really looking for is if it's reasonable for me to consider uprooting from Protestantism to another branch within Trinitarian Christianity, like Eastern Orthodoxy, that is on the public record as opposing Freemasonry, just because I've tried about, you know, upwards of a dozen Protestant churches here in Fort Wayne, and I'm not on the same page with them as far as, you know, many of them endorse and accept, you know, Freemasonry organization. And, you know, I'm...
So you were impacted by this. This trauma is impacting your spiritual life as well. John, let's hear from Chris or Sherry and see how we can help you move forward.
Well, John, I'm glad that you called in, because this is really, really, really important. Is that when we are harmed by other people, when we are traumatized, and that is represented in a group or a practice, then everything becomes about that group or that practice. And certainly, there are very, very unhealthy groups and organizations out there that we need separation and distance from. But John, my thing for you, and I'm going to start on the spiritual side, because that's kind of where your heart is right now, is that you're looking for something outside of you to be that thing that guides you. And what you're looking for is an organization. And I know this is going to sound a little bit preachy, but I want you to go back to the person of Jesus. And I want you to go back and start developing a deeper inner life with Jesus. That gives you and through His Spirit, that gives us a greater sense of security and assurance in who we are, that can travel with us wherever we go. That's not just in this group or that group. So I want you to start there. We're going to head to a break here soon. But yeah, I want you to consider that first.
You know, it is very difficult when this happens, but there is hope and we can find a new way. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. It's Becky Brown. I'm with Dr. Sherry Keffer and Chris Williams, and we are talking with John, who had some trauma in an experience with a church of when he was younger. And Chris, you were talking, but I think
Freemasonry.
Sherry, you
want to
start? Yeah.
Yeah,
Freemasonry. Go ahead.
So, hey, John, my heart breaks for you. Just listening to your story and trying to imagine what that was like to be hazed, sexually hazed, with a group of men in order to get initiated into this group. The feeling of it, the only feeling I could have that's similar would be, you know, some of the people I work with have been raped in a group. And so to have that hazing, to have it sexualized, to have them doing things to you, and that in and of itself, as Chris said, is a trauma event. Now, what it sounds like to me, Chris touched on it, and I just want to say sometimes when we have a trauma that's alive and well, it's not healed. Mm-hmm. It's not healed. It's like that young college age 19-year-old is driving your bus, and it's like you're driving your bus to different organizations, different churches, mm-hmm. and what you really want is a group of people to say Freemasons are horrible, And you want the validation, you want a group validation, because that trauma inside is looking for a place to heal. And so the idea is, if that trauma can have a group of people from another faith say, yes, absolutely, they are horrible, they do bad things, something in you will feel like it would line up. But the problem is you keep going looking for that because your 19-year-old is driving the bus, and that's what he wants. Mm-hmm. So you're looking out there to answer the trauma in here, where I would start from the inside out. Mm-hmm. I would do some eye movement desensitization and reprocessing on that hazing event. And I would help you cathartically get your feelings out, your hurt, your anger, your fear, that negative belief is probably I'm powerless, helpless. Mm-hmm. I can't trust anyone, something along those lines, and then help you move to the other side that you now have choices. Your choices are inside, mm-hmm. and that you don't have to keep searching for something outside to match with your insides. Your insides are going to change. That's what I would suggest you do, because we care for you. We want you to land your spiritual plane. Or bus,
and to not be triggered, like you mentioned, John, about hearing that a counselor had relatives in the same organization. That just shows that there's more healing that has to be done. Chris, did you have anything else that you wanted to add to the conversation?
Does any of that make sense,
John?
Does that make sense in what we're saying? Good.
I guess the wound, the reason it's surfacing, you know, at this late stage is. There's a little bit of salt being poured on. My dad's a Freemason, my mom's Eastern Star, and they just recently moved into a Masonic retirement home.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
And so it's like salt being poured onto a wound. But in Chris's comments about Jesus, I was thinking of him on the cross and looking at his mom and telling John that he was now to take care of his mom. Mm-hmm. His mom was probably deeply entrenched in Judaism, and had not processed embracing, you know, Christianity with her son dying on the cross. So, you know, I guess Chris's comments about embracing Christ deeper into my life, you know, he hung there and, you know, looked at his mom, and she's, like, deeply entrenched in Judaism. So he could probably relate to me, whereas others have difficulty in doing
that. And so, John, in that, you know, is that we want to go two directions. We want to go on the inside, right? The inside is, to Sherry's point, I've got to really work out this pain. So I need to get into a healing process. I need to deepen my intimacy with Christ. That gives us a much stronger kind of core and sense of faith and trust in the world. But there's a really, really important thing, again, that Becky and Sherry are pointing to, and that is God has created us as relational beings. We do not thrive as God intended without it. We can see that, you know, 7 of the 10 commandments don't deal with our relationship with God. They deal with our relationship with each other. So when you have this early experience that to belong, which is a human need, we have to belong, but you need to be harmed, that your dignity needs to be compromised to belong,
wow,
that gets entrenched. And so you do need to belong to people and belong to a group that accepts you for who you are and will not compromise your dignity to be able to do that. And I just want to tell everyone out there, if there's a group that to belong to them, you have to compromise your dignity, that's not a safe group of people, and they're not for you.
And Jesus hates, he hates that you were hazed. He's not okay with what happened to you as a 19-year-old. And I can just imagine him standing there weeping as that was going on, because he loves you. And he's just not okay with that kind of stuff goes on.
We're so glad you called, John, and we're going to send you a copy of Every Man's Bible. We'll be right back after this break.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. It's Becky Brown, and I am with Dr. Sherry Keffer and Chris Williams, and we're answering your calls. And we are going to go to Inez, who's calling us from Hyde Park, Massachusetts, listens on WEZE. We're glad you called and glad you held on there, Inez. It's been a little bit, but we wanted to get to your call. How can we help you today?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I have you in the speaker. Yes, I have a question about what to do, because my husband and I are home. I'm retired, and he's been seeing a psychiatrist for a long time, but for the last 3 years, or almost four, he's been struggling with a lot of depression and anxiety. Mostly anxiety right now, and he doesn't go to work a lot of times because of this, especially the last 2 years. And I thought lately was doing better, but now he's starting with anxiety again, and he sees his psychiatrist, but he gives him all kinds of medication. Like right now he's taking like 7 different medications, And all this time, it's just medication after medication. You take one, things doesn't really seem to change much. And I tell him he has to do all the stuff because all he does is watches TV all day long. He doesn't have desire. I think it has to do with the depression also. Doesn't want to do anything. Doesn't want to go out. He's kind of taking a toll on me, and I don't know how to help him. I tell him, go walk, let's do this, let's go walk. People tell him, everybody tells him, and he says, yeah, I know, but it's like I'm losing myself right now because it's just been so long that when is this going to be over?
Yeah.
And he needs to, and it's just, I don't know how, it's like I'm losing myself too. Because I want to help him, but it affects me, and I'm already, and I don't know what to do. I don't know how should I make him, and I don't know what to do about this.
I think we can help you get into a different lane here, Inez, but it is hard, and it's, it is a lot of medication. That sounds like a lot, but Chris or Sherry, who wants to begin?
I can't help but have a pop-up of Dr. Daniel Amen in my head. Mm-hmm. Having worked with him for 5 years, you know what happens when a psychiatrist feels helpless? They just give you more medication. Mm-hmm. And so you end up on several medications. It's like everything but the kitchen sink. Because they can't seem to figure out what's going on, so they're chasing this problem. Well, one of the things I love about Dr. Daniel Amen is he actually looks at the brain to see what's going on. And I've had psychiatrists that I've worked with that have been able to peel back some of the medications that aren't really effective. Because the whole body, think about it, if he's got several medications and nothing's really helping him, he's probably starting to panic that there isn't really a solution, where actually there can be a solution. And it may need a second opinion. It may need taking a look at it. I would suggest you guys watch, maybe you can start first, just, see what you think about it. One of Dr. Daniel Amen's YouTubes, or, he's got, I'm trying to think, who's the show that does, he's got a bunch of, I'm trying to think where they're, he's out on the internet a lot, but he's been on our show a number of times where he gives people hope that your brain can change. Mm-hmm. Your brain can change. It doesn't have to stay stuck. It doesn't have to. You don't have to keep throwing different medications at it, but maybe your husband has lost hope. Maybe he's really lost hope that there can be actual a change. And Dr. Daniel Amen, he's like a hope giver. He's like, hey, whatever your brain is now, you can make it better.
That's great. Inez, what Sherry's talking about is having an assessment, having it reassessed, and whether that is going to, see Dr. Amen himself. But, we have to look at this again. Chris, what would you offer?
Yeah, I'm really stuck on the anxiety depression loop because depression, at the end of the day, is lack of usable energy in the brain, if I can simplify it. And that's a little oversimplification, but really that's the neurotransmitters that give us energy are not working. Mm-hmm. But the other side of that then is the question is, what is stealing our energy? Well, I'll tell you, nothing rips energy quite like anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so there becomes this relationship that almost looks bipolar at times, though it's not, of a person getting into anxiety and them kind of being ramped up, and then the energy being drained and then falling into depression. That's usually a pattern developed over time that has historical roots, meaning that way that he relates to himself in the world oftentimes was created in painful or threatening environments. He probably needs to go back and do some work on his own history and what's led to this despairing place of hopelessness and helplessness. But I have a sneaky strategy for this. Inez, I think what you do is you tell your husband that this is not working and you want to go to a marriage conference.
Hmm.
And okay. So you sign up and have him commit to signing up for our intimacy and marriage workshop. And the reason why is because in this workshop, what we learn how to do is two things. Identify our history and talk about our history and show how our history is playing itself out in present time. And I think he'll also realize that he's not the only guy out there struggling with anxiety and depression.
Is he, Inez, are you able to talk with him at all, or how is your communication with each other?
We don't talk much because he's always been like that, so that's nothing new, but we did talk more. We used to go out, but lately with all these issues, we don't really talk much. Like, we just talk about, you know, in this issue or the family things, but he just got very isolated in a way.
The reason why I asked that, Inez, is because you mentioned 7 medications, and I know I've had clients before that have been over-medicated. Sherry talked about the fact that that's what happens sometimes, and if he isn't a good communicator to begin with, which is what you just said, it can be very hard for him to tell the doctor what he's feeling, what he should be doing. And so I wonder if that might be a next step for you guys, that you go with him to be part of this process, not to take it on, but you are doing this from a distance. And that's why the pressure is so, you're experiencing him, you know, continuing down this spiral, but you feel helpless and you feel like there's no hope. And I don't know that suggesting him to go for a walk or what his friends are doing, I don't even know if he's able at this point. But, I would...
When you say isolate, what does that look like? Is he alone in his room? Is the door closed?
No, he's in the living room. We have the TV in the living room, and that's all he does all day long, from morning when he wakes up to night, to he goes to sleep. And he even goes to sleep with the TV on. So he's in the living room. I mean, people will come. Let's say somebody will come, my friend or whatever. He'll say hi, whatever. He'll talk a little bit. My two adults, kids, they come visit, not as often, but, you know, when they do, sometimes I'm even the one talking to them. I said, lately, I told them, you have to talk to them. You got to, they come to see you, too. So he comes out. He's been coming out because I tell him things, because I try to, you know, my kid tell him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the other day I went out, let's go to see a visit our daughter. The first visit, he didn't want to go. I had to go by myself. So then the second one, my daughter talked to him, and he was able to. But he said, if somebody come, my family, you know, they want to come for visit, he'd just rather not.
Right.
He'd just rather be
blessed
alone and like that. And,
well, it's a lot of energy for him.
Yeah.
I like Chris's idea about going to the workshop together and maybe getting a new way to communicate, but I would encourage you, Inez, to seek a second opinion, maybe go with him to the family doctor, get an assessment of all the medications, because medications impact us. That's why they work. But if you get too many laid on top of too many, it literally just puts you to sleep. And so, you know, we might be expecting too much from him. We're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, because I think that might be able to help you in this process. But in the meantime, I see that Larry Sonnenberg has joined us, and he has had a positive impact on our lives. You can hear the music, so Larry, you're going to have to wait until after we get back from the break to share all the good news. I know. Patience is a virtue, though, remember?
Yes, ma'am.
But I think I just am always excited to hear about the testimonies and the way that New Life has impacted people's lives, because, we've been around a long time, and there's so many stories, but it never gets old. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I said I was going to talk to Larry right away, but I want to just tell you one thing about we talk about life recovery all the time, and we have an online life recovery conference that's going to be later this year in September. I know, Chris, you're going to speak at it, and we are calling it the Repurpose Life Conference, and some of us do need a repurpose in our life. So I just want to encourage you, if you're interested in having a full and free life, that may be the day that you come and spend with us online, and you can find all the information at newlife.com or at liferecoverygroups.com. And now, Larry, you can talk.
Thank you. I'll try to be quick. I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to everybody who has been giving. You know, times are tight. Giving is slowing down. We recognize that it's really difficult right now with our inflation and economy and a little bit of a turmoil. But so thank you. Extra special thanks for those of you that are giving. And same for those of you that will give and maybe make up that difference. I hope this brief little segment might be a Holy Spirit nudge to those of you that are thought about giving, never thought about it, but now you are. We need your help. And we need your help because someone like Patricia, who went to our intimacy and marriage workshop, said that she thought she forgave her husband before she came to the weekend, but then she realized I was still in the process. His wanting me to get over it was turning my depression over the matter into anger and bitterness. But I was supporting my new life. This weekend has been a relief to face some of our issues and share with others who have similar issues. The shame of what happened to me was met with compassion, caring, understanding, and grace. I love that. Mm-hmm. I leave here with motivation to continue to change, to overcome my weaknesses and my part in negative behaviors, actions, words, and thoughts that are harmful to my marriage. So, folks, that's why I say thank you. Her life is different. Her marriage is different. You gave the new life, or you're giving the new life. You're part of that changed life. And mm-hmm. Get onto your phone calls. I'm done.
I love it. Well, and
the power of group, right?
That's right. Exactly. And if you give during the month of June, we'll send you a copy of Dr. Dave Stoops' Making Peace with Your Father, which is such a great book. So it's like your gift will be doubled, you'll get a gift, and you'll make a difference in someone's life, like this testimony that we just heard. Thank you so much, Larry. Okay. Now we're going to talk with Bernadette, who's calling us from Alberta, Canada. And I love our Canadian listeners, and she listens on the app. Hi, Bernadette. How can we help you? Thanks for calling today.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say I'm a club New Life member.
Aw,
thank you so much.
I have just learned so much and benefited so much from your show and from your counselors. It's been a real blessing in my life. My situation right now is I have an older son who I'm having difficulty communicating with. He has a past, and at one point I was estranged from his family, but we've come beyond that, and I'm back in again, thank you Jesus. But I'm finding him speaking to me disrespectfully in front of the children, and I don't get to see him very often because he lives so far away, but I really do want to address this problem, but I'm also fearful of being cut off from the family again. So,
Can you tell us because I know we don't have too much time, like a few sentences, what was the estrangement about?
I gave birth to him as a single mom. And I had a lot of mistakes in my life. I had twins after I had him. I gave them up for adoption. And I did eventually get married and to a wonderful man who loves me and supports me. But he told my story to my wife's parents, and without discussing it with me. And his wife even went so far as to look up my twins and found them without informing me. They thought of me as a bad person, I guess, because you know, I fell from grace in my parents' eyes, and I never seemed to be able to restore that. Well, to some degree I did. But I've come a long way, and I've, you know, I'm in counseling, and I don't react. I'm not reactive like I used to be, but I'm not really sure. But there was at one point he just said I didn't deserve to know his to be a grandmother. And, you know, that's a terrible thing to say to someone. And I didn't actually, I don't believe I did anything that would deserve that kind of remark. Mm-hmm. My husband and I do have, you know, my husband's a doctor. He earns a good salary, and we've helped him out with thousands of dollars, and I'm putting boundaries on that now.
So let me jump in really quickly, Bernadette, because we're going to run out of time here quickly. What's the question for us?
Well, I thought I stated that in the beginning, is how do I address the issue of disrespectfulness without risking being cut off again.
Well, you don't.
Yeah,
you don't.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
That's exactly right, Sherry, is that you notice how he has this walk-away power, right? So mm-hmm. then that can subtly give him the justification to treat you however he wants to treat you out of his own sense of bitterness, I don't know, whatever's going on inside of him. But to be really honest, my mom actually just last weekend, I was back in Colorado. We were there for a wedding, and she addressed something with me. I thought I was joking. It was hurtful to her and disrespectful to her, and I'm so glad that she did, because I was able to correct that. And so if there is a shot at a decent relationship here, you have to be able to communicate to him that what you're hearing from him feels disrespectful for you, and you like a different avenue of communication, a different type of communication.
And I would take it a different direction. I would say right now, the thing I would want you to do is put on a whole different set of lenses. Because you're different. Your version 2.0, he's still stuck on version 1.0.
That's
and
good.
You
yeah.
want him to be version 2.0.
Right.
You are going to have to be a praying grandma. You're going to have to go back and say, I am so sorry. I hurt you. I am so sorry. I abandoned my twins. I am so sorry that I have not repaired the wrong in your heart. I am working so hard to try to build a bridge from a different place, but I know you were hurt. Do you see how I'm taking ownership of what happened in the past instead of expecting him to be where you are?
Mm-hmm.
He's got
yeah,
some healing to do, and you're going to have to slow your train down if you ever want to latch on to his caboose again.
Well, and the other part, too, is that there's got to be lots of grace and the expectation that he is going to be offended again. You know, we have this challenge in a lot of adult parent-child relationships, and we just have to be able to be honest and open, just like you just said, Chris, but that's how healing will go forward. We're going to send you a copy of Healing is a Choice, Bernadette, and we'll pray for this situation and hope that something we said helped. Thank you so much, Chris. Thank you, Sherry, for all of your wisdom. And for all of you listeners, we're so grateful for you. We wouldn't be here, obviously, if you weren't tuning in. Tell somebody about New Life, because it could make all the difference in their world. And we'll see you next time right here.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.